Dear graduates and brothers and sisters, today I remember, I think of Senior Pastor all the more. Seeing the graduates, if Senior Pastor was up here now, he would be so happy to see you. And when he started his ministry, you were, that's before you were even born. But you have now become his fruit. So he must have been so rewarded. So this makes me think of Senior Pastor all the more. But Senior Pastor, I think, is not only happy about the church growth, but whatever I see, I think of the Senior Pastor all the more. You know, these days, the world is chaotic with the coronavirus disease. But we remember the Ebola virus, which started from DR Congo, which drove the country in danger. And then the state governor of DR Congo requested Senior Pastor to pray for that problem. After that prayer, the Ebola virus was eradicated, right? So the world is now nervous with this problem. But I think I wish Senior Pastor would pray for this. But just a single prayer is everything. But without his prayer, the world is suffering now. No matter what was going on in the world, Manmin members have been kept safe. And regardless of what's happening, like coronavirus and everything, we have been kept safe because we have the Senior Pastor's prayer of power. Likewise, in God's plan and His providence are people who survive God's judgment. The Bible calls them the remnant. The remnant is one of the major ideas in the Bible. And it's such a critical theme. For example, all people were judged by the water during the Noah's flood and faced death. But the family of Noah, who were left alive and saved, were the remnant. And God's providence of redemption continued with them. While Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, killed all the male babies of Israel, Moses survived and became part of the remnant. And God's redeeming work went on with them. Moses was kept alive, and through Moses, God saved Israel again. Ahab and Jezebel received the answer of fire at Mount Carmel and intended to kill Elijah, who slew the false prophet. Elijah agonized over the fact that it was only him who remained. At this point, God reassured him in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse, "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal." The 7,000 people were the remnant chosen by God's grace. Through them, Israel could revive and glorify God. The book of Isaiah, in particular, underscores the remnant. Among many verses, let me introduce just one verse. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 3, "It will come about that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who is recorded for life in Jerusalem. Dear graduates and brothers and sisters, who are graduates? They are the remnant who've successfully finished the curriculum without being disqualified. They are the ones selected, disciplined, and refined by God. They are chosen as spiritual warriors to glorify God. In terms of grain, they are compared to wheat. The 300 men of Gideon from today's passage were also the ones who passed the several tests and were chosen as elite troops. We can say that there are the remnant who graduated from the Gideon Military Academy with great honors. They're the ones who were appropriate in God's heart. That's why I set today's title, The Blessings of the Remnant. All of you who are attending this graduation service to congratulate the graduates are those who've remained firm and survived while going through many trials and hardships in this church. All of you are remnant. So with today's passage, let us examine in detail how the 300 men became the remnant and how they were blessed. In selecting the remnant, 300 men, God saw who lapped the water with their hands to their mouths. From Judges chapter 7, verse 4 onward, we find a scene where God subjected the Israelites to several tests to choose the remnant. With Midianites taking the lead, the Amalekites and other united forces planned on attacking Israel. When Gideon gathered the troops, when he first called the troops, at first, 32,000 men gathered, but God sent away those who had even a bit of fear in their heart. While 22,000 went home, 10,000 remained. Still, God said that there were too many. He had them brought down to the water to test how they drank the water. It was a simple test. That's how God distinguished those who would remain. In verse 4, he said, "Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there." The number of those who lapped the water with their hands to their mouths was 300. While the rest knelt down to drink. Especially in 7, Senior Pastor explained that those 300 men drank the water that way because they were inspired by God while they didn't even realize it. Father God knew who would remain, who would become the Gideon's 300 men. So God inspired their heart to drink the water in that specific way. And that's how God chose those people. And just as the 300 men carefully looked around and drank the water, so we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." Because the days are evil, the verse advises us to be careful and make the most of our time. Here, the days are evil signifies that as the world becomes drenched in sins and evil, our life is tougher and the end draws near. Since we don't have many days until His coming, we are advised to be careful and wise and make the most of our time. So we have to be careful and be wise and make the most of our time. So how can we wisely make the most of our time? There are many things which we should make the most of, like money, time, stamina, etc. But among them, God specifically told us to make the most use of our time because the days of the Lord is coming near. And the verse specifically tells us to be wise and careful and make the most of our time. So now I'm going to talk about the Greek words related to this. In the original Greek are two terms that refer to time. One is the chronos time, which signifies the general concept of time. It is equally given to all people, even if they sit back and do nothing. But the time mentioned in today's passage is kairos time, which means significant or meaningful moments. If we make some significance or value of the chronos time, that time is called the kairos time. And the original Greek version of the Bible mentions this time as kairos, not chronos. So how can we make the most use of our time? How can we do this? That means we have to shift from the chronos time to kairos time. While most people in the world spend the chronos time and pass away, many of the biblical figures led a life of kairos. Many fathers of faith, such as Abraham, Moses, and David, Paul, and Peter, lived a life where they communicated with God, discovered His will, and acted accordingly. They lived a life of kairos. They didn't just idly spend time and get old, but they led a spiritual and joyful life through their relationship with God. Jesus lived a brief life of 33 years. Moreover, His public life was only 3 years long. But as He faced the final moment on His cross, He stated, "It is finished." Usually, towards the end of their 80 or 90-year-old life, people have regrets and wish that they were given more time to accomplish more. Most of them have regrets or remorse over their life. Contrarily, after His 3-year public life, Jesus said, "It is finished," which means that He had completed the ministry of salvation for mankind. How was this possible? It was because He spent the kairos time throughout His life.
살았기 때문입니다.
He would continue his prayer and meditation through the night and communicated with God. He had compassion on people, loved them, and healed them. Through his goodness and love, he gave glory to God and led his life according to the word. So, we are advised to make the most use of our time. We shouldn't just idly spend time. But we have to make each month, we have to make significance or value of each moment. That's how we can make the most use of our time. You know, our senior pastor is also spending the Kairos time. He is still spending that spiritual and Kairos time. So, how should we spend our time? We shouldn't just spend time idly, but make the most use of our time. You know, let's say we live 80 years and consider how we spend it. How we spend those many hours given to us. Let's say we sleep for 6 hours a day. Then, if we sleep 6 hours a day, how long would we sleep during our entire life? Let's say we live 80 years. Let's also say you watch TV or play with your smartphones for a specific amount of time. For example, you spend 3 hours doing this. And if we calculated it, and to sum up, you would spend as long as 10 years on playing cell phones or TV. So there are people who spend more time watching TV or playing with cell phones. Let's say if they spend six hours a day on TV or cell phones, the years would be more. If you meet and talk with your friends for 3 hours a day on the average, you waste as long as 10 years on chatting. What about our service hours? We have Friday all-night service and Wednesday service and Sunday services. If we add up all our service hours during the week and divide it by 7, it's about an hour a day. Again, we have to divide 80 by 24. So, we are offering services for 3 years and 5 months during the 80-year life. Because we pray for 2 hours in the same way. If we calculate it in terms of our entire life, we are spending almost six years during our entire life. And so this is for those who diligently attend services and prayer meetings. This is the time for them. But while they sleep for 20 years out of their entire life, so how much time they spend for services or prayer meetings? Dear graduates and brothers and sisters, as we are advised in Ephesians chapter 5, we should be careful how we walk be wise and make the most of our time. In the Greek Bible, the word exagorazo is used, which means to rescue. So it tells us to rescue our time. There's an English idiom, kill time, which means to spend time aimlessly. We shouldn't kill time. We shouldn't spend time aimlessly. Wasting time is the same as killing time. In the NASB version of the Bible, the expression make the most of is used. This is like a dear graduates and all church members, I urge you not to waste time, but make the most of it and spend it on meaningful, valuable, and spiritual things so that you can live a life of no regrets. Second, to receive the blessing of the remnant, we should be strong and bold enough to give up even our life for God's will. Judges chapter 7 verse 12 doesn't specify the number of the enemy troops, the Midianites and Amalekites, but from the expression as numerous as locusts and their camels being as numerous as the sand on the seashore, we can infer that the number amounted to hundreds of thousands. But there were only 300 men from Israel. So, the number of the enemy troops was 45 times bigger. What do you think of this situation? Do you think the Israelites were afraid? They didn't have weapons. The enemy troops were armed with swords and spears. But the Israelites had no weapons. You know, they only had trumpet and pitchers. The pitchers signify the earthen vessels, and it signifies us. And Gideon didn't clothe the Israelites with armor. He only told them to hold a trumpet and a torch and a pitcher. Yet, the Israelites were not afraid. They did not waver, seeing numerous enemy troops. They only obeyed God's word and marched forward boldly. They possessed such a strong and bold heart, and they were ready to devote even their lives for the truth. Out in the world, being strong means to be clear on his opinions, decisive, not compromising with unrighteousness, and not tolerating falsehood. But being spiritually strong is different from this. The kind of strength that God desires is to be ready to give up our life and lay down ourselves for the sake of the truth and God's glory. Our beloved Cedar Pastor, since he has leading this Mammon Church, he has only sought God's will and suffered so many false charges and unfair situations. So people around him even advised him, until when will you be patient about this? The people around him advised him like this. But senior pastor responded, because I stay patient, God repays me with tremendous blessings. Because I have pity on them, pray for them, and embrace them, God works with tremendous power and grants us spiritual works beyond our imagination. Yes, brothers and sisters, not involving worldly ways, not compromising with unrighteousness, persevering, understanding, forgiving, loving, serving, and praying for others according to the truth. This is being strong in a spiritual sense. Then, what is being bold? Out in the world, being bold is being rough in personality or character, having no fear, and overflowing with courage. But spiritual boldness comes upon our heart as we believe and trust God from the depths of our heart. So, with such boldness, we don't waver no matter the situation. If we are afraid of tribulations and persecutions and step back, how could we say we love and believe in God? How could we say we have boldness? Thus, we should become such warriors who conquer any kind of obstacles for the sake of righteousness and truth, and are not afraid of dashing into even blazing flames or torrential current. From 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 14 onward, we find that Israel was battling with Philistines. Because this is the early days of Israel, David didn't have that enough forces. The Philistines were attacking the Bethlehem, which was the hometown of David. David said to himself, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." As the three mighty men heard this, they broke through the camp of the enemy at the risk of their lives and brought water from the well so that they could fulfill the heart's wish of their dear and respected King David. It's because they trusted, loved, and believed in David. So at the risk of their life, they broke through the camp of the enemy. This is not... They must have been got injured along the way. But they successfully draw water from the well and brought it to David. As they came back, they broke through the enemy camps and finally arrived with the water. They must have been injured, but so David was moved by this. So he refused to drink the water, but poured it into God, saying that the water was like their blood. This is what our Christian life should be like. From the Romans of the Three Kingdoms, you know, back in March 2000, while senior pastor delivered a sermon entitled "Like the 300 Men of Gideon," he mentioned the general Zhao Yun from the Romans of Three Kingdoms. During the battle, Liu Bei lost his son. And so General Zhao Yun rushed into the enemy camp to discover his lost son. He thought how distressed, how heartbroken his master would feel. So he discovered the child and he put it in his bosom, and as he tried to come back, there were so many enemies attacking him. But with a resolution to bring that child back to his master, he finally made it to Liu Bei. So when and watching all this, the enemy general, Cao Cao, asked who he was and ordered his generals not to kill him, but capture him alive, because he was so touched by Zhao Yun's courage and life-giving loyalty. So General Zhao Yun risked his life to save that baby. It's the same with the 300 men of Gideon. They didn't have armor. They were facing the enemy, which was 45 times bigger in number. They didn't complain like, God, why do you tell us to fight our enemy with only the trumpet and a pitcher and a torch? And, you know, in the middle of the night, if he had held up the torch in the middle of the night, they could have been seen more plainly. So they could have been killed so easily. But because they love Gideon, no matter the situation, they didn't waver and risk their life to fight their enemy to death. So I want to urge you to live our Christian life to death, to the point of death. You know, we should lead our Christian life with all our life. We should risk our life and do our utmost. We read in Mark chapter 20:30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with your mind and with all your strength. And also another verse says, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. We should show faithfulness and devotion to the point of death. By the way, if we show faithfulness to the point where we are ready to die for the sake of God's glory, His will, and for the sake of goodness and love, God saves us. We find in Luke chapter 9, verse 24, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. Also, Luke chapter 17, verse 33 promises us, whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Judges chapter 7, verse 22 says, when they blew 300 trumpets, the Lord set the sword of one against another, even throughout the whole army and the army field. As they fought with a resolution of, if I die, I die, God worked for them and caused commotions to arise among the enemy troops so that the 300 men could win. If we exalt all our efforts, we can live. While visiting Nairobi Mami Church in Kenya, I had a chance to visit its national park where we drove around watching animals, wild animals. I was told that it was not easy to see a lion, but that particular day, with God helping us, we could see several lions. Another missionary said, if God really loves you, He would allow us to see lions today. Because He said so, if a lion doesn't appear, that means that God does not love us. So I prayed, God, please let us see lion. Please allow us to see lions. And the lions did appear. I have pictures of them. Another missionary said, look, that lion is hunting the wild pigs. So it was, because that was quite a spectacle, we got off the car and watched them. The lions and the wild pigs were on something like a hill, and the lions were chasing after the pigs. But the missionary said, oh, the lion missed the pigs. While the lions ran after the pigs desperately ran around I think the pigs didn't want to suffer a disgrace of being killed in the presence of a Korean missionary. So, as they desperately ran away, the lions stuck out their tongues and gave up on chasing them. So we should also make efforts to the point of death. We should pray to death. We should praise to death. We have to achieve sanctification to death. So some of you may wonder, I may say, I don't want to die. But to death, it is supposed to mean with the best of your efforts. If I quote the biblical expression, it is supposed to mean with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Why don't we say the phrase using gestures that Senior Pastor showed us, you know, with all your mind, heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's the gesture our Senior Pastor showed. Lastly, the remnants, 300 men, held trumpets and had torches inside the pitchers. If we examine the strategies adopted by Gideon and 300 men, it looks like a comedy from a fleshly perspective. But actually, this was a spiritual strategy that came from God. As they broke the pitchers and held up their torch, the enemy troops ran away in fear because they thought a numerous Israeli troops were attacking them. You know, Admiral Sun Shin Lee also used a similar strategy during one of his battles against Japan to overcome their inferiority in number. He dressed married women as men and had them go around in circles or walk along the coast with a torch in their hand. Seeing this from afar, the Japanese troops thought that his troops were tremendous in number and went away in fear. They failed to attack them. Dear graduates and brothers and sisters, so the verse says that they hid their torches in their pitcher. While I was praying about this, I thought the pitcher signified our heart. That's the inspiration that came to mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ours." The Gideon's 300 men hid their torch in their heart, in their pitcher. So, what's inside of you? Do you have true love and truth in your heart? Do you still have darkness in your heart? We should have our heart filled with only with goodness, love, faith, hope, and all of those belonging to the light. So today we are offering this graduation service, but there is the final graduation day for whole mankind. What is it? What you see on the backdrop behind me is the picture of the mankind's final graduation. During service, we don't have that picture, but you know, usually we have the picture of the rapture. You know, this is the This is the final graduation day of all mankind. The first one who will be lifted up is our shepherd, and then we'll follow him according to our spiritual ranks. The measure of faith at that point is our true everlasting honors. So don't be discouraged even if you haven't got good spiritual grace yet. But make sure to get outstanding grace on that final graduation day. Let me conclude the message. You know, during the New Year holiday, I happened to watch TV, and the movie Ansi City was on. The movie was about to end, but I paid attention. To conquer the state Goguryeo, which is one of the states in the ancient Korea, the Chinese emperor had attacked Goguryeo's cities along the border and then advanced to Ansi City. But the number of troops in the city was only 5,000. Which was incomparably small. But the master of the city, Man Chun Yang, decided to fight to death along with his citizens. If their city had been collapsed, the Chinese army could have quickly advanced to Pyongyang City, which is the capital. So, the master of the city, shot an arrow. He pulled the arrow. He shot the arrow with all of his strength. This was their last resort. And he shot the arrow with all his strength, and the arrow flew over. It flew over and hit right on the Chinese emperor's eye. And the emperor got injured, and after they returned, because of that injury, the Chinese emperor died in about 3 years. I was very inspired by the last scene. One of the high officials who came from Pyongyang asked the master of the city, and he thanked the master of the city, "Thank you for protecting the city and protecting for our country, Goguryeo." And then he rode off on a horse. I was very inspired and shed tears because, and when senior pastor comes out and looks at us and say, "Thank you, all mommy members. Thank you for staying where you are. And thank you for protecting mommy church." Imagining senior pastor saying this, I was so inspired. Wouldn't he say this to all of us? Now, looking forward to that day, we should become like those 300 men of Gideon and fulfill Father God's providence and will as spiritual warriors. And also, I urge you to be ready to devote even your life for the sake of truth and
Son과 사랑 그리고
I challenge you to shine your light with goodness and love, overcome sins and evil and darkness, just like Gideon's 300 men.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.